Hey, welcome back to the Flirty Sunny Style podcast. Thank you so much for being here and for listening. My name is Casey, and today is a very, very special episode of my podcast. It is something that I have dealt with personally. It is something that I have watched family members and friends of mine go through. And a very highly requested topic for 2022 when I did a question box on my Instagram page was, what content or topic do you want to see or hear or talk about more in 2022? And it was an overwhelming response of grief and of losing someone you love, whether it be a family member, a child, a parent, a grandparent, a friend, a spouse, and whether you lost them for this life, you know, while you're on this earth, they are no longer on this earth. Whatever your belief system is, they are no longer physically here. Or the flip side to that, you can still grieve the loss of someone who is physically alive, but maybe you had to cut off a relationship with them, or they cut off the relationship with you, and you did not necessarily think that that was the best choice for them, for you. Maybe you thought of counseling or so many resources, reaching out to a mentor, someone who knows more, someone who maybe has been there, someone who maybe has walked that path, right? You would have done anything. Anything. When it comes to grief, when it comes to loss, we all would have, could have, possibly even should have done everything. But the reality is, this is where we are. This is our lives, our new lives. And how do we deal with the grief? How do we deal with the pain? How do we deal with the stages of grief and ultimately get to the final stage of grief, which is acceptance? And I have a question for that. Do we ever fully get to and stay at the final stage of grief being acceptance? Do we stay at that point? Like, do we just wake up one day and go, oh, yeah, well, they're not here anymore. Okay, I accept it now. I mean, I wish it were different, but like, I can't change it. And I've been fighting it, but like, it's okay. It's all right now. Do we ever get there and stay there day after day, year after year for the rest of our lives? Well, I don't know the answer to a lot in life, and I certainly don't know the answer to that. But I, as I said, I do know my own life experiences, and from that, I can tell you that you are different, and it's beautiful. You have changed, and it's amazing. You are so strong, brave, incredibly courageous. And I know you're probably going, what? What? How? What? How? I feel X, Y, and Z. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired of missing them. I know. I know. But you are here and you are listening to this podcast right now. You think that's coincidental? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Do you think it's brave to search for happiness after hurt? Yes, I do. It's absolutely brave because that means something inside of you has to go, okay, I hurt. My heart is broken. This is awful. But I want to love again. I want to try again. I want to trust again. I want to change. I want to find joy again. I want to be happy. Yes, I miss them. Yes, this hurt, this pain is real, very much so. But if you are looking, if you are searching how to walk through grief, then you are changed. And it's amazing. You're different. And it's beautiful. And you are incredibly courageous. So in my experience, what typically happens after the initial shock and the initial grieving process, you know, maybe it happened pretty recently, last few weeks, last few months, year, couple of years, but no matter how recent or how long ago the loss happened, the odds are, and I'm willing to bet, and I'm not a betting woman, but if I were, I would be willing to bet that you do not want to think about it. What happens when we think about the loss? What happens when we think about the happy memories? What happens when we think about the sad ones? What happens when we think about the things we left unsaid, undone, not yet finished because we thought, we assumed we had forever. There'd be more time. What happens when we do our best to not think about the loss? Or the pain, or the hurt, any part of it, or all of it. Well, what happens is we get triggered, right? It could be a song you hear on the radio. You could be at work and they have music playing and you're just working, not paying attention. And all of a sudden, just like that, snap of a finger, you're taken back to a moment in time with the person you lost. Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me many times. How does that make you feel? Have you ever asked yourself, or is the feeling you experience so overwhelming that you have to shut it down? You don't take the time to see if it's sadness. You don't take the time to examine if it might be sadness, but with a hint of happiness. Perhaps it's regret or guilt. Oh, goodness. Guilt. When you hear that song, guilt, that you are here and they are not. Have you ever walked into, let's say, your kitchen or your family's kitchen or a restaurant, and you smell something, whether it's a perfume or maybe it's some sort of a dish or a meal, someone's cologne, the smell of a bonfire, maybe a store that you guys would love to go to, a sporting event. The rain, snow, Your home. Have you ever had the sensation of just smelling something that makes you automatically think of that person? Again, because I have. Again, what do you do? What is your reaction? Do you cry? Do you get mad? Does it depend on the day? Because that's me 99.99999% of the time. Just to be transparent. We are all about transparency and honesty here. Honestly, I don't know how I'm going to react because it's unexpected. Because it's something that I'm not consciously thinking about until I hear the music or smell the scent of my grandfather's cologne or the scent of my home where my daughter once was and now is not. Could it be the holidays? Could you in August, September, October go, I cannot wait for the holidays. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. And I'm going to have a good time. I am not going to be a downer. I'm not going to be depressed. Or if I am, I'm not going to show it. This year, 2021, was going to be different. And then, was it different? Did you fake it better? Did you hide it better? Was trying to fake it, was trying to hide it, was trying to keep it inside so much work consciously that you ended up actually doing the exact opposite of what you set out to do? And did it kind of like blow up in your face? And were you possibly more emotional than you had anticipated or wanted to be? Something I want you to take away from this is if you lost someone and you are grieving, it hurts. If you have that pain, that means that that person left a legacy on their life, no matter how many years they lived or how many weeks they lived or how many months they lived. It doesn't matter. Or how long you knew them. That's not what matters. What matters is the impact that they had on your life, on you. And they left an imprint. But more importantly, they left a legacy. And anyone who has left a legacy, they want their legacy to be remembered because it honors them. I know that I would want, when I pass away, I would want to be remembered. I'm not saying remembered for all of the good or the great or what, you know, the accolades or the accomplishments that I achieved. No, not necessarily. If I guided someone through a mistake that I have made in my life, and I guide my son, or I guide a peer, or a colleague, or a family member, or a friend, or a stranger in the supermarket. Oh, Lord, yes, I've done that. If I can use what I have been through, related to grief or completely different, and just one of those, I was young and dumb and I did exactly what you're planning on doing. And so here's how it is. Here's how it's probably going to go down. And if I can impart any wisdom through the good, bad, the indifferent. If I can inspire through my accomplishments, through the good, but definitely through the bad, if I can inspire integrity, humility, being God-centered and people-centered, wanting to help people, wanting to reach people, if that is what people remember, or if that is what people, my friends, my family, my coworkers, if that is the legacy that I leave, then I would feel like I did a job well done. Now, of course, that's only for God to judge and to tell me, but that's my calling, that's my goal, that's my mission, to live with integrity, to be humble, and to take some risks, some smart risks, but risks that mean that God is preached, that his word is touched by someone's heart that had never heard it before, or someone's heart who was closed off. I want to be people-centered, where I care more, and this is to my very core, I care more about you, you being okay, you being happy, you being healed, you realizing who you are, you looking 10 years back, seeing yourself then, taking a microscope and going, yeah, I'm nothing like that person. Okay, wait, I'm sure we could talk about all the negative ways, but in what positive ways are you different now than you were 10 years ago? Start naming positive things about you now that you did not have in you, did not know, didn't want to show the world 10 years ago. Be proud of that. Because those things are going to be a part of your legacy. When you lose someone, you are confronted with the reality of how truly fragile life is. But you are also confronted at some point with the realization of how strong you are. So, with that being said, you've gone through this horrific loss, painful loss, but you're still here. You are still standing. You may feel like you got knocked down, but you're not down and out. You're still here. Get up. If you're not standing, get up. Stand up right here, right now. This is the time. If you feel like something is missing in your life, like perhaps a significant other, you've always wanted to get married, or you always wanted to live the rest of your years with that one special person. But putting yourself out there is maybe out of your comfort zone, or you don't know where to find them, or this, or that, or excuse A, excuse B, and excuse C. Or maybe you've always wanted to have kids, but you have not had them yet. You're married, you have a good job, you have stability. But once you found out how fragile life is, now you might be a little more apprehensive to have kids. But why? Remember, I should ask, do you remember how strong you are? Do you remember how much you have to love and to give and to teach and to inspire a future generation? Fact of the matter is, you can count on two things. You can count on change. The only thing that does not change in life is that everything will change. And the other thing is death. Whether it's your own death, someone else you love, and that petrifies you, that's understandable. It is. But you need to grow. It's time to grow. You don't need to be ashamed by how you feel. Not at all. You need to be empowered by how you feel. Say, okay, yep. Yep, this is how I feel. Absolutely. Acknowledge it. Give it a name when you start to feel that way. Give that feeling, give that person you become and you turn into, and then all the anxiety and the anxious thoughts and all of that, give that side of you a name so when it happens, you can call yourself out. Do you remember how strong you are? Maybe you feel like joy is missing from your life. I hate when people say, I just want my happily ever after, or I just want to be happy. Well, as much as I understand your sentiment, happiness is an emotion, which means that you cannot on earth feel that one emotion forever. You will feel happy, and then you're going to feel sad sometimes, and then you're going to feel anxious sometimes, and you're going to feel fill in the blank. And then you're going to feel happy again, and then you're going to feel sad again, and rinse and repeat, because that's how emotions work. Because happiness, again, is just that. It's just an emotion. I think what you're actually looking for, the word you're looking for to explain and describe the feeling you're looking for, is joy. No matter what is going on around you, regardless of the emotion you feel, whether you're feeling happy today or sad or angry, you still want to have joy. In my opinion, joy and hope go hand in hand. If I am hopeful about my growth, if I'm hopeful about my future, if I am hopeful that I will grieve, I will miss this person for the rest of my life. However, I will be a better person. I will remember that person. I will have a more humble outlook on a very fragile life on earth, because that's reality. And this sort of harsh reality is not, I suppose, fun to talk about or to wrap our minds around when we have not gone through a loss. But I'll tell you this. If you have not gone through a loss, a significant loss, like life-changing, personality-altering loss, you have no idea how blessed you are. At the same time, there's a flip side to that coin. You have no idea when that day comes, because again, it's inevitable. We are all going to lose someone. So when you lose someone, you have no idea what that punch to the gut, that stake through the heart feeling. And that's not even accurate. There are really no, I have not found them yet. And I read a lot and I have yet to find the proper description for that moment, the initial moment when that person you care about and love passes on. Again, personality altering, life changing. Yes, it's beautiful. Yes, it's amazing. But it's only that way if you grow while you're grieving. If you acknowledge the stages of grief, if you wake up in the morning and you're feeling angry, angry at God, angry at the world, angry at the situation, wake up and say, yep, I'm angry today. Yep, I am. Start there. Don't stay there. Start there. After you've done that a few times, then I want you to grow and say, okay, good morning, anger. You're here yet again. But I'm tired of you. I'm tired of being angry. I'm tired of blaming this. I'm tired of blaming me. I'm tired of blaming God. I'm tired of blaming the could-haves, the should-haves, the what-ifs, the what-ifs. You're going to get tired of it. So, hi, anger. Good morning. I'm replacing you with joy. Put on music. Dance around. Fake it till you make it is a quote that I believe in. And you're never going, again, the goal is not to make it to, okay, I can think about them and I don't get sad anymore forever and ever in the rest of your life on earth. The goal is to live as much of a joyful life as you can, because you will have plenty of moments of pure joy. But then you're also going to have those moments where the anger, the sadness, the what ifs, though that, or just the simple pain of missing them, that will always, it's inevitable. It's going to come back. It's not allowing it to stay. Again, it's saying, insert emotion here, insert stage of grief here. Hey, good morning. I acknowledge you. I see you. But I am replacing you with faith that this is not all there is. So for part one of the Handling and Living with Grief series of the Flirty Sunny Style podcast, I want to talk about feeling like you're the, and I'm doing air quotes, the death friend. That's when you feel like people will treat you like you're going to bring them down, like you're going to be sad all of the time. When if you get together, God forbid that you go out to eat, you're just going to cry in the restaurant right in front of the whole community. Will you? Will you? Maybe. Maybe not. If you do, so be it. So be it. And if you do, and they can't handle it, or it makes them uncomfortable, again, so be it. So be it. Do not feel bad. You did nothing wrong. If they are not emotionally intelligent, empathetic, compassionate, understanding, and I could go on and on and on. If they are not those things, if they don't have those skills and those attributes, because yes, some of them are indeed skills, that's their problem. That is not your problem. It's not your problem that they are uncomfortable with your grief. That did you hear what I just said? It is not your problem that they are uncomfortable with your grief, your sadness, your trauma, your loss. Your personality is altered. Your life has changed forever. And they're uncomfortable. And when you're going to walk on eggshells because of them, they're going to ignore your phone calls because you're too real for them. Okay. That's okay. So be it. So be it. Because I'll tell you what, for every one person like that, sis, there are five people who will be there, who will go out to lunch with you. And not only will they have you cry in front of the whole community at lunch at a restaurant, they will cry with you. They will laugh with you. Because that's how it works, really, right? You start to cry and then you have to laugh. You have to laugh. And if you can't make yourself laugh, then that's when one of those five people need to be around you. There's this kind of morbid thing that happens after you have a loss. You start to have a morbid little bit, and it's not all of the time. So people, calm down. But when you're around someone else who has experienced loss, and you know it, and they know that you've experienced loss, if one of you or if both of you start to feel like get emotional and you don't want to, this morbid thing, I think it's a pretty beautiful representation of humans and friendship and bonding. This thing happens where usually one or both people, or depending on how many parties are involved, somebody will say a joke and it's absolutely morbid. And if someone walked by and heard that joke, they would go, oh my God. Satanic. And they would keep on walking because they would not, they'd be putting holy water on themselves. They'd be, bless your heart. Oh, did you hear what they're saying? Did you hear what they're talking? How awful. No, it's not awful. No, it's not satanic. It's going through something really, really horrific. Really traumatic, really sad. And going through, doing the work, going through the process, getting to a point of understanding yourself enough, understanding life enough, understanding grief enough, understanding this too shall pass. That allows for that joke, that morbid quote unquote joke, to connect you and anyone around you who has experienced loss. You will bond deeper. You will get closer. And that is what's beautiful. And it's the morbid jokes for everybody else. They're not daily. Well, perhaps for some people they're daily. But I have found that the most genuine bonding happens when it's at the probably one of the worst times to say it. And it's probably one of the most true but absolutely morbid things you could ever say. Doesn't mean it's not true, and it doesn't mean that some people won't understand. Some people won't. But if you have lost someone, you know what I'm talking about. Because you've had the morbid thought, right? You've had, oh, yeah. And you've either said it in a, to someone and they looked at you like, wow. And they just kind of stopped. Or you said it to someone and they busted out laughing. And it's not because they're sick. It's not because they're psycho or crazy or whatever label. It's just because they get it. They understand on a deep, deep level. And if you, maybe you're not there yet in your grieving process, that's okay. But you will, because you're going to grow. You're going to do the work. You will not. You cannot stay stuck. Because that's how it feels, right? You feel stuck. You feel like you're on almost like on a hamster wheel. Like every day. And you say to yourself, I'm doing my best. I'm doing my best. Okay. Okay. I'm not going to disagree with you and say you're not doing your best. Because I believe you absolutely can do your best. But perhaps you're not doing the right work. Maybe your best is hiding your feelings. You're doing your best at hiding your feelings, okay? But is that the right work, or should you acknowledge them? Maybe you're doing your best to make sure everyone else is okay. You're listening to everyone else's feelings. You're being there for everyone else. You're being strong for everybody. And while there's a balance that has to come into play. You have to be strong, of course. Then you have to release, and the people or the person that you were strong for, that's when they become strong. They become that rock. They become solid for you. And if they can't, if they don't, if they refuse, if they're whatever, that's okay. My good friend Jesus is a wonderful rock. Wonderful rock. Not only that, but he's an even better comforter. So when I'm really feeling like my heart is just tearing apart again, there's something, metaphorically speaking, it's like a big bear hug from Jesus to my heart. If you've never experienced that, or if you haven't believed, or maybe you went to church or you go to church, but, you know, not like, you know, you don't believe like that, you know. Why? Is it because bad things happen to good people? Well, good is relative, because God is great. We all fall short of God. He knows that, but he loves us anyway. He wants to comfort you anyway. Goodness gracious, he came to earth in flesh as man. The Son of God came here and was brutally killed so that you could be with God forever. But beyond that, so that you could have a relationship with God in this lifetime on earth. So you could go to him. See, he made you. So he's a little bit selfish. Not selfish. That's not the right word. He's a little bit jealous. He wants you to talk to him. He wants you to walk with him. He wants you to cry out. He wants you to hit the bathroom floor on your knees, sobbing, mascara tears all over your face. That moment, you know that moment. That moment when you go, I have tried everything I know. God, please help me. Or God, if you're there, God, if you're real, help me. But you didn't stop to look back to see that he did, because shortly after that, and I don't say shortly in minutes or hours, but that was when the tide turned, right? Reflect on that. Don't jump at an answer. Reflect on that. Is that what happened? Did you cry out to him? And but also, side note, by the way, and this is where I'm going to leave you for this part one of handling and living with grief. You can tell God that you are mad at him. You can tell God that you hate him. You can tell God that you, whatever it is, whenever it is, I hate to cook. And when I'm cooking, sometimes I go, God, Lord, I do not enjoy this. I don't. You think he doesn't know? He made me. He's inside me. He knows me. He's always with me. He will never forsake me. He will never leave me. So I'm going to put on a front? For what? You think he can't see past that? He doesn't have x-ray vision? Well, no, he doesn't need x-ray vision anyway, because again, he's with you. He's in you. He's before you, behind you, beside you. He's all around you. He surrounds you. He protects you. He comforts you. He's your rock when you've been the rock for everyone else. Even if you haven't been the rock for everyone else, he's still your rock. You don't need a person to be your rock. You don't need a person to be you anything. You need God to be God. You need to give it to God. You need to say, God, I don't know how to give this to you. I don't know how to give you how I'm feeling. But Lord, I know that with you, all things are possible. I know you can. I'm believing that you will, with faith, with hope. I am believing, I am expecting that you will. You will. And even if you don't, that's okay, because there's a reason. And on this side of heaven, I will see that reason. Because I am believing with everything I have. I am expecting to see it. Be expectant. Talk to God. Yell at God. Cry out. Again, if you are not into the whole God thing, and we're not talking religion. I'm talking God and Jesus, a relationship. If you've never, because, you know, it wasn't cool growing up, you know. I know. I didn't think it was either till I needed him. Until I needed him like I needed breath. Until I needed him like I needed food. And even though I was eating, well, a little bit, because I felt so discombobulated mentally and physically, not over the passing of my daughter or family one, but from a separate event that initially led me to my relationship with God. I grew up in church and I did all the, you know, said all the things, you know, all that. But there was no relationship there. There wasn't. And then when I went to school, Monday through Friday, I didn't talk about him. Honestly, I wouldn't have known what to said. What to said? I would not have known what to have said. Yeah. If there was even a chance to discuss God or Jesus, I would not have known. I didn't know enough about him. Why didn't I know enough? I didn't know I could have a relationship with him. I didn't know that it was okay to get mad at him. I thought that was a sin. I thought I was going to go to hell if I admitted the truth, which again is silly because he knows. He knows all. He made you. He knows the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. So if he knows how your life is going to end, and if he knows you because he made you in the beginning, what makes you think that anything you do would shock him? Or beyond that, would be too bad, too much of a sin, too far gone for him to forgive? What makes you think that if you tried and said, God, I'm doing this new thing and I don't know what I'm doing, but I've tried it all else. I've tried everything else. I've tried, you name it. So God, I'm giving you a try. The only response, the only feeling from God to you is, and this, my child, is what I've been waiting for. Finally, welcome home.